said, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Baalah, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. I'd like to take our text tonight from verse number 3, where David says, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. If the Lord will help us, I'd like to preach on keepers of the ark. Keepers of the ark. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we're able to be in your house tonight. God, we're able to feel your Spirit and your presence. Lord, we ask that you would visit us. God, let your Spirit just touch each and every one of us tonight and help something good to come of this service and the remainder of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keepers of the ark. Oh, when Israel left in Egypt, all during their 40 years of their wilderness wanderings, the tabernacle with the ark inside of it had always been in the center of the camp. When God told Israel, you go and you stop here and here's where you camp tonight, they were supposed to put the tabernacle right in the middle and send tribe. Amen. The tribe was here and the tribe was there and it circled around the ark. Amen. God was telling Israel, He was saying, Israel, amen, I want to be in the midst of you, my people. You are my people. I want to be in the midst of you. Amen. I want to be in the middle of things, if you will. Amen. God was telling them, amen, in no uncertain words, that hey, when you go out, when the enemy comes against you, amen, I want to be there for you to fall back on. Amen. For your strength and for your encouragement and to get power to fight the battle. Amen. When you go out to battle on the offensive, amen, God was telling him, amen, I want to be what's behind you. Amen. I want to be the power behind you. I want to be that what pushes you. I want to be what gives you the strength. The center of things. That's where God still wants to be. Then when Joshua and Israel came into Canaan's land and they set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the ark was inside of it, and it stayed there for a while. But if we would go back to 1 Samuel chapter 4, we find that Israel was beginning to war with the Philistines, and Israel had been had already been backsliding. And the Bible tells us that the ark that day, the presence of God, the symbol of the presence of God, was taken by the Philistines. And Israel, amen, was sad, and it was a national calamity because, amen, the ark was gone. God's presence was gone. Israel had lost that day. Samuel had died. Amen. That day when he heard about the battle. Amen. And the story goes that the Philistines had it. They took it to the house of their God. Amen. And their God fell over. And God, amen, once again proved to be, amen, too much for the enemy. Amen. Too much for the Philistines to have. And so the Philistines said, what do we do now? You know what? The world still don't know what to do with the presence of God. They still don't know what to do with the people of God. So the Philistines sent it back. And the ark ended up in a place called Kirjath-Jearim. The point is tonight, it just didn't stay there, or it just didn't go there, but it stayed there for 70 years away from the tabernacle. Amen. 70 years, amen, the ark of God stayed in some little corner. Amen. Away from the tabernacle. Amen. Can you imagine going to church for 70 years? Amen. A lifespan. Amen. And knowing you're going there, but the ark of God is somewhere else. Amen. You're coming to church. Amen. But God's not there. Amen. He's tucked off in a little corner. Amen. The fact that it was allowed to remain. Amen. In that little city somewhere for 70 years amounted to one thing. It was sinful negligence. Even that was the religious apostasy of the day. Even every man did what was right in his own eyes. Amen. It didn't matter what God think about it. Amen. It didn't matter if God was in the center of things. Amen. I want you to know tonight, amen, that's the kind of day we're living in tonight. Amen. It don't matter. Amen. If we go to church or not anymore. Amen. It don't matter if God's at church anymore. It don't matter if we feel God's Spirit. Amen. As long as we have a little religion every now and again. But I'm telling you, amen, we need the ark tonight. Amen. Back in the center. Amen. We need God in our churches. Amen. We need a revival tonight. Amen. It'll stir the church. It'll shake this world tonight. Amen. As I said, the ark was a symbol of God's presence. Even God said He'd dwell in the midst of the cherubims. Exodus 25:8 said, God said, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Even God wanted to dwell in the midst of His people. But you know what? Instead, even God got pushed off into some little corner. Amen. God got pushed off into some little town away from the tabernacle. The people become unconcerned about His presence, unconcerned, amen, about the fellowship with God. Amen. Israel got a desire to be like everybody else. And they begin to send to Samuel, say, oh, Samuel, amen, we want a king. Amen. We want to be like everybody else. Amen. And so they rejected God. Amen. I'm here to tell you and I tonight, church. Amen. We had better be careful. Amen. Of what we want and of what we desire. Because we might give more than we ask. Amen. God said you get a king. He's going to take your boys. He's going to take your girls. He's going to take some of your land. He's going to take your money. And that's exactly what the world does tonight. Amen. Oh, we just want a little bit of this. Amen. But sin takes more than it gives. So they prayed for a king. The king usually set the spiritual tone of a nation. When the king was good, Israel's good. When the king was bad, Israel's bad. Amen. Saul didn't stay humbled too long. He didn't stay, amen, spiritual too long, if you will. And so the ark continued to be dishonored and neglected the 40 years that Saul was king. Until finally God got tired of it, and the Bible said, amen, that God raised up a man after His own heart. Amen. And that's what God is looking for tonight. Amen. God's not looking for somebody, amen, just to be in charge or just to take over His kingdom. Amen. And just to take over His plan. Amen. God's looking for somebody that'll say, here am I, Lord, send me. Amen. God, let me be a part of Your kingdom. Amen. Lord, let me to follow You. Lord, let me be a tool in Your hand. Use me where You can use me, oh God. Let me say a word here. Let me say a word there to help somebody. Amen. The bee put themselves at God's disposal. And this is what we're reading in chapter 13 where our text is. David had just been made king. And the first thing David does as king is to inquire about the ark. David could have said, I don't have time right now to worry about the ark. I've got a government to set up first. I have things to get in order. I have a kingdom to be concerned about. Amen. I got to appoint somebody here. I need to appoint someone there. I got ambassadors to send here and there. Amen. I got a palace to build and then this and that. Amen. But the first thing we read that David did just about after he became king, amen, is to begin to worry about the ark. I'm afraid we're like, amen, like the opposite of David. Oh, God, we'll, amen, give You after we get this done. We'll give You this amount of our time. And
Amen. We give God the leftovers and say, Lord, amen, after I wake up and get this done and get my schedule set for today and get my priorities set for today and I get this taken care of and know where I'm going here and there, amen, then God, I'll find a place for you. Amen. Then God, I'll set you in the center. Amen. Then God, I'll find time for you. Amen. I've done it in my own life, church. Amen. As soon as we know it, amen, there it is, bedtime. It's, oh God, I'm too tired to pray. Even I'm too tired to read my Bible. Hey, let's begin to put God first. Let's be a person after God's own heart. So in verse 2, the Bible tells us this. It said, and David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. David brought everybody together. Amen. In verse 3, he said, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquire not at it in the days of Saul. Amen. David, I like what David said. He said, we... In verse 3, David didn't blame it solely on Saul. But he said, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. In other words, maybe if we would have desired God's presence more, maybe Saul's mind would have been changed. Amen. Maybe if we would have inquired about the ark, amen, and begged Saul for it, amen, maybe Saul might have had a change of mind, amen, somewhere down the road. And maybe Saul would have brought the ark into the camp of Israel. And maybe things would have been a little bit different, amen, than what they are now. Amen. David was saying, we have nobody to blame but ourselves that the ark is not here. Amen. Oh, David looked at the chiefs and he said, it's your fault and mine that we didn't inquire about the ark. Amen. For you see, in the days of Saul, amen, the stock market was probably going good. Amen. The economy was going great. Amen. The cattle were growing. Amen. There were plenty of crops, plenty of food. Amen. There was jobs in the land. Amen. Saul was fighting the enemies. And Israel was victorious. Amen. So we'll think about God another day. Amen. There was no problems in the church. Sickness was absent. We'll worry about revival another day when problems arise. Amen. It's amazing when things are going good. We chalk it up to our superior wisdom and good fortune. And once again, God gets stuffed in a box off in the corner somewhere until the next emergency. Even tonight we're preaching on the keepers of the ark. And you know what God's looking for tonight? Amen. God is looking, amen, for somebody to inquire, amen, about the ark of God. Amen. God's looking for somebody to worry. Amen. To say, God, where's your presence? Amen. God, not just on Wednesday night. The Lord, where's that abiding presence that goes to work with me Thursday? Amen. It goes with me Friday. Amen. Keepers of the ark. Amen. I want to read something to you. Amen. One of our presidents said, and it's so timely, in April 30th, 1863, Abraham Lincoln addressed the nation with something great on his heart. And he cut through any pretense to arrive at the source of what was ailing America. Here's what he said. He said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace Amen. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. Here's what he said. He said, it behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Amen. Oh, there are a lot of people are like that, want God, but they don't want the abiding presence. Amen. Things are going good now. Amen. Well, we'll worry about God when the times are up. We'll worry about selling out to God. Amen. When push comes to shove and there's an emergency tonight. Amen. But we don't like God being around all the time. Thomas Guthrie used to say this. He said, if you find yourself loving any pleasure better than your prayers, any book better than the Bible, any house better than the house of God, any table better than the Lord's table, any person better than Christ, or any indulgence better than the hope of heaven, take alarm. Amen. How about it? Amen. I realize this might not necessarily, amen, to some extent be to everybody. Amen. There's those in here that's revived and been doing right. Amen. I'm preaching to you tonight that's on the border. Amen. That's not so concerned, amen, whether God moves for you or not. You're not so concerned, amen. Amen. If you get a blessing tonight or not, you're not so concerned if God moves. As long as you go home and everything's all right. Amen. And nothing's wrong. Amen. I'm telling you, we need somebody. Amen. To get serious. Amen. About the art tonight. Let's stay with us in that. Too long the ark's been neglected. Amen. Too long the Bible has been unstudied. And the closets of prayer been unfrequented. Amen. It's gotten fashionable, amen, tonight to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. We've got too many excuses. Amen. And not good reasons for not being in church. Well, I was just too tired. Or I was this and I was that. Amen. As if being too tired and getting rest was more important than God. Think about that. Is it more important than God? Amen. Is it more important than what God can give you and what God can do to you and what God can make of you tonight? Amen. And to push God off and curse that Jeroboam, amen, for 70 years and not even care about him? Amen. You've heard this before, but Edmund Burke said this, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Good men. Solid men. Faithful men. Amen. Men that sometimes we can look up to. Amen. But we need a keeper of the ark tonight. Amen. We need somebody to do something. Amen. We've been quiet too long. We waited for this person and that person. When God's looking at square in the face and say, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to acquire. I'm waiting for you to move. I'm waiting for you to seek my face. Amen. I'm waiting for you to be a keeper of the ark. David desired to bring the ark back to a place of prominence, honor, and influence. Amen. David was wise enough to know that when something is out of sight, it's likely to be out of mind. And that's why he wanted to bring it back to Jerusalem, back to the temple, even back where the people were. Amen. The ark tonight was where the law was kept. That's where Israel could be instructed and told what was right and wrong, but it was also where the mercy seat was. Amen. It showed Israel that mercy was always accessible. Amen. That mercy seat brought hope for the sinner. It brought pardon for the penitent tonight. It brought soothing relief for those in despair. Amen. It brought a bright and happy thought of a loving Heavenly Father. Amen. That wants to be in the midst of their daily lives. Amen. Wants to be in the midst of their sorrows. Wants to be in the midst of their sad times. Wanting to be in the midst of their laughter even. God wants to be in the midst of it all. Amen. The ark brought rest and virtue. Rest in victory. Amen. God's presence brings courage and comfort and trial. But I like this about David. David not only inquired about the ark, but verse 2 said this. verse 5. And so David gathered all Israel together from Shahor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemoth, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. David just didn't send for it. He went and got it.